And welcome to the Saturday edition of It's Not a Terrible Podcast. It's a Steelers Depot training camp report, live call-in. In the past first couple of days of camp, we had Nick Ricchetta call in and give us some awesome recounts of training camp. And this afternoon, I am pleased to be joined by one of my longtime followers, Dan Petrowski. Dan, thanks for calling in. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. No better way to spend a Saturday afternoon than at Steelers training camp in Latrobe, man.
I'm very jealous. I'm very jealous of all you guys up there that get to go and take part of this and take it all in. You did a great job live tweeting it today. For those that are interested, you can follow Dan on Twitter at DanPIO1217. That's all. There's no underscores or anything in that. It's DanPIO1217. And also, Dan is a graphic artist as well. And every time you see the Terrible Podcast logo up on Steelers Depot, that is the awesome work of Dan. So, Dan, why don't you tell us listeners real quick, kind of plug yourself, your graphic artist work, and how folks can get contact with you, you know, right up the top here.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I do all kinds of, you know, freelance graphic design, animation, print layout design. If anyone's interested in, you know, hiring me out for my freelance services, you can get a hold of me on Twitter or by my email address, which is just my Twitter handle at gmail.com. So that's DanPIO1217@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to listen to your needs and see what I can do to help you out.
And he does awesome work, too. Like I said, if you want an example, you could just look at the awesome Terrible Podcast logo. He did fantastic work, and I didn't give him much guidance on that either. I just kind of told him what I wanted, and he just went to it. So, and Dan, we certainly do appreciate that. Well, let's get right into training camp today. I was worried at first that you were going to get rained out, but you said it was just a light sprinkle when things got started, correct?
Yeah, when we showed up, it was a little overcast. It rained for maybe, you know, a minute or two, very, very light rain. And then the sun kind of actually came out, and it heated up real quick there once the team got into their team drills. But, yeah, pretty good weather all around.
And they were working on the field turf today, is that correct?
I'm not sure. Just the three fields that they have down there at Latrobe, you know, those are the fields they were working on. They actually did have one of the fields covered up because of the rain when we first got there, but they had a bunch of guys out there doing some maintenance on the field and getting it ready for practice and setting up and whatnot.
Yeah, I think because of all the rain earlier in the day, you know, I think I'd heard that they were going to be working on the field turf today. Let's talk about a couple of the guys that weren't working today. I believe that a few of the veterans, you know, had a veteran day off, and in Casey Hampton was not working. I don't believe James Harrison was working either today. But it seems like Marcus Gilbert and Cresden Butler not working either today. Is that correct?
Yeah, Marcus Gilbert, Cresden Butler, Curtis Brown, all were out with their, you know, previous injuries. Like you said, Casey Hampton and James Harrison were not even dressed today. They were kind of just enjoying practice from a coach's perspective, if you will. They were kind of walking around, talking and chatting with the coaches, and they looked like they were having a good time not being in pads.
Cresden, you said, was kind of doing sprints or whatnot on the side. Does it look like he might be close to, you know, getting back on the field here next day or so?
From what I can tell, man, it doesn't even look like they're hurt, to be honest. They were running sprints almost at full go, and they looked good. They looked quick. It was Curtis Brown, Cresden Butler, and Bryant McFadden were all on one of the side fields running sprints while the teams were running their positional drills. And then Chris Kamoyatu was running 100-yard dashes as well, and that was pretty amusing to watch.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe these rookies and you know, the hamstring is not unusual early part of camp, and the quad. So sounds like they're going to ease them back and getting into some condition and all. And I don't think the Steelers were counting too much on Curtis Brown or Cortez Allen outside of maybe some special teams work early in the year. So that's not too surprising.
Right.
I think Gilbert's a little bit of a surprising that, you know, he really needs this time, especially, you know, word came out today that Jonathan Scott kind of rolled his ankle today, and Foster was joined him on the cart too. And initially Tomlin's not thinking that those injuries are too serious, but of course they just happened. And I bet Tomlin doesn't have the full rundown. So tell us a little bit about the offensive drills that you saw to get started with. did the rookie Keith Williams stick out? Anybody stick out in the drills today in the offensive line?
Offensive line, not so much. It looked like pretty stereotypical stuff. Keith Williams does look like a very nasty blocker, but as reports have kind of shown, his pass blocking, it looks like a lot of defenders are getting by him pretty quick in the pass blocking. As far as the full team offensive drills, a couple guys that did stand out to me is definitely David Johnson. You know, he's a candidate for that number two tight end spot, and he was catching every pass that Ben was throwing his way. He got in with the first team on a couple drills. He caught a real nice lob pass over Lawrence Timmons, was covering him on the play. And he looks great as far as receiving, but we all know that if he's going to win that number two tight end spot, it's going to be because of his blocking than his catching.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good report there. It's good to see. It sounds like he's kind of had one good day followed by a so-so day, but I fully expect him to make the roster. Getting back to Williams there, do you think it's more of a foot, his footwork that's given him problems, or just his aggressiveness overall in the pass blocking?
And again, this is coming from a Steelers fan perspective. You know, I'm not by no means my master football coach or anything like that, but it would seem to be his aggressiveness. I don't see any problems with his footwork. I think he just almost looked kind of like Chris Kimo. He gets kind of fired up, and I think his aggressiveness is going to cause him to, overshoot some areas instead of, in pass protection playing it safe.
What about Chris Scott? They've worked him at both right tackle and right guard, and I hear that he worked at right guard after Foster went down. Did he fly? Was there anything special about him that stuck out today?
He looks solid, man. I mean, I just from watching, I can't tell he's a rookie. He looks like he really did his work last year while he was on the exempt list, and he looks like he has real good balance, good size, good strength. He looks like a seasoned vet out there almost, and he actually was running with the first team at left guard after, like you said, Jonathan Scott went down, and Marquise Pouncey was also not practicing today, so Doug Legerski was taking snaps at center, and Chris Scott filled in with the first team at guard.
Oh, so he was at left guard and then moved to right guard when Foster went down, is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's good news. Scott's, like you said, he's had a year to look at that playbook and practice after coming off PUP last year. We just really never had reports after him coming back of where he actually lined up, and it seems like they're trying to work him now it seems like both guard spots and also a little bit of tackle. So that's good news. This guy really, needs to start. Hopefully he'll have a good preseason and be worth his draft pick there the year before last there.
Right.
What about Cologne? Is it look like he still has the explosion and all coming off of that Achilles injury?
It's kind of tough to tell from training camp, but I would say that he definitely seemed a little reserved. It seems like he's trying to ease himself back in. He didn't look like he was exploding, going full go during the practices, but just kind of going through the motions. Didn't look like he was, hampered at all by it, but it definitely looks like he's trying to ease himself in and not take things too quick. He, other than that, he looked good.
I'm talking to Dan Petrowski, one of my longtime followers on Twitter. He's calling in a great training camp report for us, for those if you're just getting caught up or joined halfway through this interview here. What about some of the wide receivers today? Antonio Brown still having a hot camp?
Yeah, he is. He was, the guy's fast, ridiculously fast. I mean, not quite Mike Wallace fast, but, when he's running his routes, he looks like he's much more confident coming in and out of his breaks, catching everything that came towards him. The wide receivers is where I was a little closer to, so I got an extended look at them, and a couple of guys, that I'm really high on right now are Tyler Grisham and Wes Lyons. They were actually in with the first team on a couple plays when they went to a four wide receiver set. When they went to four wide receivers, they had Wallace, Brown, Grisham, and Lyons in there. And Wes Lyons, man, he is just a giant among everyone else. And he seems to have really good body position and body awareness for a guy his size. He kind of is able to squeeze this big frame in between defenders and just snag the ball out. And there were three or four passes that he caught that I just had no I didn't think he was going to be able to catch him based on the position the defenders were in.
Yeah, you're the second person or third person I've talked to that said that he uses his body real well, and I cannot wait to see him when he hits the field. And he might be. Would you say he's probably and of course the lineman Swede went down today with what's being described as a separated shoulder, so we'll find out more about that probably over the next few days. But do you think Lyons is probably past Swede on the depth chart now, or do you think they're neck and neck, or what?
I mean, based on what we've seen, I would have to say so, because we haven't seen anything out of Swede in years. So I mean, I would say it would mostly be based on the coach's level of faith, in him. Right now, they came out in four wide receivers and he was number four. So, I mean, just for the fact that we haven't seen anything out of Lyman Swede, I would say yes.
Was Arnez Battle, they hold him out today? It might have been a veteran day off for him. Did you see any of him?
I think it was. I did not see him line up in any of the first or second team drills. So, he's one of those guys that, fourth, fifth spot on the roster. I'm not even sure what he looks like. So I was sitting there with my binoculars trying to find him, and I couldn't even find him.
Yeah, I think the word is he had day off, and he's had a pretty good start of camp too. So I would imagine they have plans on keeping him around because of his play on special teams more than anything. So that's some good reports on wide receivers. I'm guessing Mike Wallace just looked like Mike Wallace today.
Oh, you betcha. He had one nice grab that was a post route. Other than that, they didn't throw it to him too much. It looked like Ben was thrown to a lot more of the younger tight ends and wide receivers today. But every ball that they threw his way, he was catching. And he, like you said, he looked like Mike Wallace.
outside of you mentioned DJ at tight end, any other of the tight ends really flashed today at all that were worth noting, or did they just kind of blend in? And what about maybe John Gilmore?
John Gilmore looked good. He's wearing number 89. He almost looks just like Matt Spaeth out there, except he can block better. he looked solid in his blocking. He was running routes well. He caught every pass that came his way. Wesley Saunders was another guy I was keeping an extra eye on. He caught a real nice pass. I think it was Jason Worlds covering him on the play, and I think it was Byron Leftwich that threw him the pass, but he definitely looks like he's very good receiving threat. I know when he was on your podcast, he talked a lot about working on his blocking and becoming a complete tight end, and that's what he's going to have to do to make this roster, because we got some good guys ahead of him.
Yeah, and it's looking at, the way they brought Gilmore in as a seasoned veteran. Unless they kept four tight ends, it seems like we could be looking at Heath Miller, DJ, and Gilmore as possibly the three opening day tight ends, depending on the needs on the roster. And Saunders very well could be, headed towards the practice squad bar in some sort of, huge improvement here. But that's a good report. How about the quarterback accuracy today?
I would say mediocre. Byron Leftwich looked really good. Dennis Dixon was looking pretty decent. Charlie Batch looked probably the best out of all the quarterbacks. Ben kind of looked like he was just, going through the motions. He's a veteran at training camp. I don't know how much stock he's putting into these drills or anything like that. But Charlie Batch looked like he was trying to prove something. I think a lot of people count him out on the race when you look at Ben, Leftwich, and Dixon. They figure, a lot of people figure that we'll be going with Dixon since he's the younger guy. But Charlie Batch looks like he's got something to prove. He wants to make this team, and he looked real sharp today.
Yeah, and I guess he's slowly getting back into groove after, being a player rep and all like that. So, I'm with you. I think you know how my feelings are. I think Dixon's the odd man out here. It'll be interesting to see if they showcase him a lot during the preseason games, but teams could have just had Dixon for basically $1.5 million a year and a fifth round draft pick, and nobody was all over him. So he's holding out for a trade, but I just don't see that happening. He could just be a clean cut.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see it happening. I think if he ends up getting cut, I think he can find work with another team, but I don't see him competing for a starting job this year, at least.
Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball before we get you out of here. And The rookie Cameron Hayward, let's talk about Cameron Hayward, first-round draft pick, and with Worlds, I believe Worlds was, I think you tweeted, filling in on the right side with James Harrison sitting out today. Give me a little rundown how both those guys look and how Stevenson Sylvester supposedly is just a beast now.
Yeah, absolutely. Stevenson looks like a starter waiting to happen. You know, as reports have been coming out, he bulked up a lot over the off season, but he has not lost a step of quickness. He's all over the place during the team drills. He was covering wide receivers. He was blitzing the quarterback. He looks like a solid all-around player. And, you know, especially only being in his second year, you know, the ceiling's, you know, much higher than what we've seen so far. Cameron Haywood is just, you know, a beast. You know, you see him standing next to Ziggy, and both those guys are just beastly men. They are gigantic. They were going through their drills, and just explosion, very, very powerful explosion. You know, what you want out of a defensive line is that quick, powerful explosion. And they were both showing it very well. They were going on the sleds, doing some gap drills, stuff like that. They both look solid. Chris Hoke was filling in for Casey Hampton, a nose tackle. He looked solid. And then the undrafted rookie, Anthony Gray, I was trying to keep an eye on him. He looks very, very powerful, but he doesn't look like he's got the footwork and the hand placement kind of stuff down. It looks like guys kind of figured out how to, you know, squeeze by him on the team drills and stuff like that. But I think if we can get him to the practice squad and, you know, keep coaching him up for another year or two, I think he could develop into a solid player.
Yeah, that's good news. Worlds, how's he looking on that other side? Because, you know, last year all we really saw him was, you know, in late games or filling in, you know, if Woodley had to come out of the game at left outside. How's he looking on that right side? Does it look like he's flashing yet, or does it look like he's still got a little development?
I'd say he's still got a little development, but the thing I really like about him is as you're watching him through the drills, he's constantly in the coach's ears and the veteran's ears, and you know he's just talking to them about all the specifics that go with the job. He's, you know, he looks like he's just thirsty for knowledge. He wants to learn the game. And so that's definitely a positive thing to see on the practice field. His burst is definitely his strength, his quickness. I would say in order for him to develop as a, you know, complete linebacker who could eventually become a starter, he's going to need to add some strength. It looks like some of the tackles are, you know, just so much stronger than him. They kind of shrug him off on the outside rush. I did see him get to the quarterback on one of the plays. I think it was the second team offense was in, and he got in on left witch pretty quick. But, you know, as far as him becoming an every down player, I don't think he's there yet.
Okay. What about the rotation on a defensive line? Did Steve McClendon come in after Hoke? Did you notice, or was it Gray that come in the rotation? Did you happen to pay attention to that?
Yeah, I wrote it down. 69. Is that Steve McClendon?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think that's Steve McClendon. That was the second team nose tackle. But they seem to be rotating the ends in a lot more than they do the defensive tackle. I saw Cam Hayward and Ziggy Hood in with the first team defense a lot more often, and they were in there with Hoke, who was, you know, running the first team nose tackle. So I feel like they like to switch out the defensive ends a lot more than they do the nose tackle. But I would love to see Steve McClendon kind of turn it on in preseason. You know, he doesn't get a whole lot of reps in practice, so, you know, I'm going to be definitely watching him during the preseason.
Aaron Smith seemed, I've been asking everybody about Aaron Smith, how he looks coming off that biceps. He looked like he's back in a groove and ready to start competing, you know, and going full bore.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's definitely in the groove. He's going through all his drills, looks great in all the drills, looks great on all the plays. But aside from that, the guy looks like he couldn't be happier to be there. You know, him and Brett Hughes are standing on the sidelines, dancing around, shoving each other, joking around. And he just looks like he is so happy to be back playing football. And for however long left that we have him, whether it's 1 or 2 years, you know, just a solid guy to have back on the team, locker room presence, and, you know, we know what we are getting from him on the field. But he looks 100% ready to go.
And Dan, before we get into the goal line drills that everybody wants to talk about, let's talk about the corners today with Brian McFadden out. I'm guessing that Ike Taylor was on one side, and I heard William Gay and Keenan Lewis were rotating on the other there. What'd you see there, and who was helping out in the nickel with all those kids out today?
Yeah. Keenan Lewis, it looks like they're giving Keenan Lewis every chance to win this starting job. It's kind of do or die for him. When he was starting on the outside, William Gay was taking over the nickel. And when William Gay was taking over on the outside, they had 27 Brinkley in on the nickel. So they're definitely trying to work some of those younger guys in. And, you know, like you said, it would help if we had some of those draft picks in there. But, Keenan Lewis, it looks like is being, I don't know, featured or focused on, but you know, this is definitely probably his last camp to show Steeler Nation what he's got.
Did he flash at all today, or did he just look like a regular corner in there? Did you see anything out of Keenan today?
Most of practice he looked like a regular corner, but he did have a brief moment of flashing when the team went into full team drills. He was covering Mike Wallace deep, and he did break up a pass for Mike. He has moments of looking like he could be a Pro Bowl corner, and then he has moments of looking like he shouldn't even be playing, you know. And the coaches, I think that's the biggest concern with him is his consistency. Will he be able to be an every down player, or is he just another guy that can only bring it every now and then?
And, you know, with him, I think it's either an outside spot with him or nothing. I don't think he's a guy that I haven't heard yet of him getting any work in the nickel spot. So I think it's either, you know, he wins that backup outside role or, you know, he's gone. Cause I just don't think he's going to be versatile. I had thought in the past that maybe he could move to a safety position, but it doesn't sound like that's going to happen either. So anybody else really stick out in the corners, or was it kind of just a blasé day as far as the defensive backs went?
Pretty mediocre day, and especially with having so many guys out, you know, half the guys they're putting in with the, you know, subbing into the first team and second team aren't even going to be on the team when the first cut comes around. So, I'm really going to be anxious to see Curtis Brown and Cortez Allen when they get back from their injuries, you know, as everybody, I think, wants to see what those guys are made of. But, keeping eyes on Keenan Lewis and seeing what he can show the coaching staff. I agree. I think he's only going to be able to make the team on an outside spot. I would think if they were thinking of using him in nickel, we'd have seen him taking reps there by now. And, you know, I think this is his last chance.
All right, and everybody wants to know about the goal line drill. There sure was a lot of live tweeting going on through it. Why don't you walk me through the goal line drill?
Well, first of all, everybody was hooting and hollering as soon as the drill got underway. You could definitely tell that the players and coaches were excited, they were aggressive, and they were ready to play some real smash-mouth football. First up in the goal line drill was two runs by Jonathan Dwyer. First run, he got stuffed immediately. The next one, he got in, but, just by mere inches did the offensive line give him enough room to get in. And at that point, it was 1-1. And they subbed in Jonathan Dwyer for Baron Batch. Baron Batch got the ball three times. First run, he got stuffed. The second run, he walked through a giant hole. I could have gotten into the end zone on that hole that he walked through. Offensive line did a great job getting him there. And then the third rep he took, I couldn't tell if they just stopped him or if there was a fumble, but the defensive side of the ball absolutely exploded. They were hooting, hollering, screaming their heads off. And, it was definitely something cool to watch. And so he got another run, and Baron Batch got a fourth run, actually, and he got in. So at that time, it was tied 3-3, and you could hear Mike Tomlin screaming his head off, "It's tied 3-3. Who's going to bring it? Who's going to win?" And so they put John Clay in there, and he got knocked by a linebacker. I didn't see the number of who it was because they were practicing on the far side of the field, but he did not get in. So the defense won the overall drill. 4-3 was the score, but, you know, it was good to see, a couple of those younger backs get in. And it's also good to see some competition from the running backs, you know, for the third down short yardage back role that they're going to be looking for. I'm really excited to see who gets the shot at that, whether it's Dwyer or Batch or Clay, but, you know, they all seem to be pretty powerful backs, and they were all in there competing.
I've never had a problem with the way Jonathan Dwyer covers the ball, but I know you've heard me talk about him several times. It's when he doesn't have the ball that is where he becomes a liability. And to be in the NFL nowadays, you've got to do more than just, carry the football. There's a lot of backs out of jobs right now that can carry the football, but they can't do the other things. So I'm really thinking this is going to be it for him. It's interesting that Clay, I think he hurt a foot last night and had it taped up and was back in there. So, it's good to see him back battling. Like you said, it'll be fun to watch him in preseason. But Baron Batch, this kid is for real. And I know you've listened to the podcast for a long time, even back after he was drafted. And we had Baron on the podcast and doing my homework for that interview for that. This kid, I knew he could block by looking at the game tape. That wasn't the worry. The worry was just, how he holds up in the other portion of the game. And it looks like, it looks like this kid's a lock almost to make the roster right now.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. And I think the biggest surprise from him has been his speed and his quickness. Nobody seemed to expect that out of him. Like you said, there's plenty of evidence on tape of him doing the little things, blitz pickup. And if he handles linebackers like he handled Jason World and Debo in the back on backers drill, man, I want that guy on my team.
Hey, you're exactly right. I'm getting a couple of tweets here while I'm talking to you asking about Redmond and Mendenhall. Did they just not use them in the goal line drill? They just wanted to look at the young guys?
That's what it seemed like. They did not use either of them in the goal line drill. But Mendenhall did have a couple nice catches in team drills. He's showing his shifty moves and his agility, what he does good, and he looks solid.
Redmond looking okay? Just looking like same old Redmond?
Yeah, same old Redmond. He didn't really stick out to me a whole lot, but I don't think he got the ball a whole lot, especially not out of the backfield, I don't think they threw him any screens or anything like that in team drills. I did see him at practice, but he didn't stick out to me particularly.
Great reporting, Dan. Great reporting. We appreciate that. I like to do this with all my people that call in. Give me three things that stuck out, to you today during practice. And let's start with the third. Work up like a countdown, 3-1. Give me three things that stuck out to you today.
Sure. I would go with number three, David Johnson, vying for that number two tight end spot. He looks very good athletically, very good in receiving, but, we're going to need to see some more blocking from him to see if he wins that number two spot. Counting up to number two, I would say the defense in general, man. I mean, our defense is amazing. Steeler Nation knows that, especially watching the defensive line and linebackers drill. So I guess if I had to be more specific, I would say Cameron Hayward and Ziggy Hood and the youth on that defensive line. Man, those guys are just beasts, and I think even one of those guys could start on just about any other team in the NFL, and to show that they're backups on our team, that just goes to show you how good our defensive line is. And then number one would definitely have to be the goal line drill. That defense was fired up. They were firing through the gaps. They won the overall drill, and granted, they were going up against an offensive line without Marquise Pouncey and Jonathan Scott and whatnot, but man, they look like they're ready for this season to start, and they are ready to start playing some football.
Well, Dan, let me tell you, man, a couple of guys I've had calling in, you and my other guy, Nick, calling in have done a fantastic job, and I certainly do appreciate you taking the time. And if you decide to go back out there any during camp, definitely let me know, and we'll have you on. And for listeners, that's Dan Petrowski. You can follow him on Twitter, Dan, PIO1217, and he's a great graphic artist and a well-educated Steelers fan in particular. Dan, thanks for joining me this afternoon, and be careful on your trip home.
I will. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank God football's back, man.
Amen. Thank God football's back. All right, folks, that's wrapping up. Thanks for listening to our training camp update. We'll be trying to get someone on over the next course of days as they wrap up training camp at La Trobe. Thanks for listening.